The plus size girls have so much money.
Oh.
Yeah, they do.
Hectic.
Plus size girls. How come? Those girls work hard. Because all they've got is to concentrate on their work.
Yes.
Those girls, ask any girl who's in a plus size fashion line. They make the most money from. Skinny girls are not going to go buy a dress for 3,000 rand. Because why? They can go to Mr. Price and Maraba Stat.
And yeah, you're right. Yellow I mean, sub. Plus size girls don't have options.
Yeah,
they don't have to make the money to buy that 3,000 rand
exactly.
Dress.
So that's why I know. And those girls work hard.
Yeah.
And that is why you'll find the sketchy men always wanting to hover around plus size girls because what? But I challenge. Plus girls have money.
So you actually have men who prey on plus size girls because they know you have money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Level line with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest. Level line with the podcast. Teach you lesson cause I got class. Level line with the impact. You be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Level line with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest.
Welcome to the Lebo Lion Show, where we talk all things marketing, branding, mindset, business, and sometimes pop culture. When I say I'm excited about the guest that we have today, listen, I can't even contain it because I think she's going to give you guys a really cool view of life outside of what you know South Africans experience. So I can't wait for her to share her story with us. But before we do that, you know what we do on this podcast. We have to do the things that get the bills paid. So like, share, subscribe, comment, do all the things that help us grow, that help people see us, that build this lion community, because we need to roar as loud as possible and the whole world needs to hear us. So guys, before we get into this conversation, I need to say that I would like us to be very responsible in the comments that we share underneath this podcast, because at the end of the day, we're all just people and we're here to learn and connect. It's okay if you have a different opinion, but don't have a hurtful opinion. We are mature. We know how to articulate ourselves. And in this community, we show people what it's like when you are vibrating at a higher level. So let's keep the comments fair. You can be honest, but be fair. And let's get into it, because I think we're going to have quite a fun conversation. I think it's also going to be, for me, extremely personal, because I can relate to the story. But yeah, let's get talking. And you know how we do on this podcast, we don't introduce our guests, they introduce themselves. And she's known to leave a spark in everyone's life. Please, Liaho, introduce yourself.
Oh my God, I'm so shy. Okay, cool. My name is Liaho.
Yes.
Liaho Glamstar. Okay. It's my alter ego.
Yes.
Because I'm a star, right?
We love alter egos here.
Yes. So I'm Liaho. I'm from Mafikeng. I am 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. I am a marketer by profession. I am also just launching my business. In my new belt now, I'm a businesswoman.
And nice.
On a clothing label for undefined women. I am also, I'm a fun girl, man. I'm a different person, I think. I'm special.
Look, I experienced that before we started recording.
I think I'm special. And I think, that's me. I don't want to get into too many things because we unpack as we go.
Yes.
Who I am, but I'm just a girl from Afiki. I'm a Tswana Han.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Tswana Hans are like...
extra. Tswana Hans are extra. Don't let them fool you with their cute faces and pretty smiles. Tswana Hans are extra.
Yeah, so that's me. That's the long and short of who I am.
Okay, so I want to ask you this question, but I think, let me bring it in this way, right? When I saw you coming in for the podcast, I was like, I think I know this lady. Like, I know her, you know? And then I thought about it and I realized that I actually had seen her on one of the episodes of Come Dine With Me.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk about that. What made you want to even enter a reality show about cooking?
Because I love cooking. I cook so well. I cook so, so well. I love cooking. It's something that after losing weight, I took it seriously, and it's something that I, however, I'll never cook for people. I feel like I'm too cute to be doing catering. Not that, okay. I'm saying this,
like, as
wrong.
A business, you'd never do it as a business.
It would never be a business for me. And I'm also hard labor, man.
You're in your soft girl era.
Yeah, I'm in a soft girl era, but I love cooking. So come down with me, came. I lost weight, and I thought, okay, there's this thing. I like cooking. I'm always told I've got a great personality, so let me try this. And then I went for it. And literally, I went for the interview, and I got in. Mm-hmm. Went for about 2-3 interviews, and then got into the show.
And how did the show go for you?
The show was great. I mean, reality TV is so scripted. So it was very... I actually was supposed to win, right?
Okay.
And unfortunately, I didn't win because I scored someone higher.
It's the audacity for me. I love how she said, I was supposed to win.
No, because
I love it.
Because
I really love it.
I put a show. Like, I went all out. Like, yeah. And I cooked better than all of them. Without the risk of sounding like a kitakiri, right? But I really did. Even they said it.
Are you serious?
Even the scoring.
Off camera.
Off camera. Scoring. I scored higher by 1 point. And that the lady that won beat me by 1 point. She was good, too. She was also Indian. She cooked Indian food.
She cooked curry. The food she knows.
Curry.
Yeah.
I mean...
And you feel like that's not a prize, like it's not worthy of winning.
I mean, you're Indian. Why are you going to cook curry?
Because Leago is very spicy. If you didn't know, you're about to find out.
I mean, I felt like for me, it was like... She didn't... You know, it was just a curry.
Yeah. Prawn. She should have done it. If you could do Come Dine With Me again, would you cook differently?
No, I wouldn't. I would have just changed the cheesecake because my cheesecake was a flop, right? Because I tried it the first time that day, and it just didn't work out. But that's the only thing. Because I don't think I feel like baking. You've got a hand. Everybody, it's not just for everyone.
Yes.
And I just tried it, and I wanted to bake cheesecake. So I think I should have just did that frozen one. Yeah, fridge cut corners.
If you were in prison, death row. Mm-hmm. And they ask you to ask for your last meal before they hang you or whatever they do, what would your final meal on earth be?
It would be salmon.
Salmon?
Mm, I love it.
Just to peel, is that all you're
salmon
asking for?
Salmon and potatoes. Mm-hmm. Grilled potatoes with lemon butter sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's my favorite, absolute favorite meal. Like, salmon is my favorite in different types. Oh, smoked salmon, pan-fried salmon. Pasta, salmon with pasta. It's my absolute favorite, but you have to have salmon, whatever it is.
I did not expect that.
What were you expecting?
I thought you were going to say something more soulful because you said you're good at cooking soul food.
I'm good at cooking soul food because it's my love language and that's how I show love. But I don't eat it because of the surgery now. It's too heavy in terms of like red meat. It Yambora.
Yeah.
So if now, I was never a person who would eat steak. Yes. Now I'm a steak girl. Like I would have like,
you.
Only because of the surgery. Maybe before surgery, it would have probably been ribs.
Yeah.
But also I can't eat a lot of that because it gets too much. So salmon is my absolute fave. I just enjoy it for some reason. But I also make it very soulful. Like I'd make it creamy. I wouldn't just make it simple. It would have a lot of soul in it. So it wouldn't be one of those extremely healthy ones.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So guys, the reason why I'm starting off this conversation with Leago talking about food is because we're going to talk to her about her very unique story of getting gastric bypass surgery. And I really think it's a unique story, especially for this podcast, because we don't usually do that kind of conversation. But I think for Women's Month, it's important for us to show the different experiences South African women have. And this is not a conversation we usually have in South Africa, just generally, like us getting gastric bypass. So tell us about your childhood. What led to you getting surgery?
Okay, cool. So I generally grew up overweight, like since Kilingwana. I was the overweight girl in the clique of friends, of the chubby friend. My sister's very small. Mm. So, and she's beautiful. Like, my sister's very beautiful. And obviously, I grew up with her, and I could tell that, you know, growing up, man, you see with people, like, they all, when we arrive, me and her, because we grew up like twins, right?
Mm.
Would arrive to a place and they'll always compliment, but
oh my God.
But people would never really say it to me. But over time, I realized that no man, why nuggets and kibutsu are you know? Like, I didn't understand what is the reason why nuggets are. I just couldn't get it. Like, so, and every time we'd go, who want to join the man? Oh, we're not going to, you know? But it'll never be that for me. And this starts really by nyane with compliments. Oh, but since he's so cute as we grow old and teens. Oh, I never see man or join the man. But I never get that question. And I desperately wanted that question so much. Just to be asked, you know, it would have meant the world to me, but I never got it. And then, but at home, my family, my mom is obsessed with weight. Like, she's a health freak. My mom gyms, my mom eats right. So I think the idea that I was overweight, it kind of stressed her a bit as well, because maybe people also used to say a lot of things to her about it. You know, like, whatever, you know. Because I was very overweight, and I talking kibuwa, like, I was opinionated extremely. I still am. And I think, so just my environment, man, the world, like, I just grew up in a, as a chubby girl. At home, it was never a thing, per se. But my mom would always want us to eat healthy. Ki jimi siwa, ki woki siwa, ki sa understand. But in the morning, ki woke, ki fula, hai ki matla that, oh, naka toko robala, you know? So I'd be like, and mama, and mama, she was passionate about weight. It was just like the diet. You know when I was diet? What was every new diet? They would put something in your end, and apparently you won't get hungry. Yeah. This. Mama ka, I laugh now, but it was a lot. So I just went, my whole childhood was just always about dieting.
Yeah.
I'd go to school, my mom I'm packing the Provita with Ingi. I would toss that in the bin. And I had a good friend Fifi who would give me her cup tea and I'd be happy eating bread. I just got my mom thinking, if you only knew I'm not eating those things like the apple, I said, my mom would be working, Shem, where she used to work hard.
She tried, yeah.
She tried, but yeah. It was just not my thing, right? I didn't like it. It made me unhappy. And then at school also, like, I want to be in the netball team. And the man did a gold attack or gold suit or something random. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just didn't. People just used to always give me random spots in everything. And then, and worse, I wasn't necessarily the smartest, like, in terms of, I was an A student, and my sister was an A student, right?
Oh, Lord.
So she's beautiful. Award ceremony. Award ceremony. She's getting the certificate for top performer. My mom, Shem, Adilom, when I got for L.O., this girl, I visa for L.O. certificate.
Wow.
Even that's in a good day. If not, you know, mamaka, kote yo leako is disruptive or stoutu, leako ha concentrate. There was just always something. So I think for the most part, I then lived my life into my teens settling, all right? Because everything was just, I'm giving this, so I'm taking it because it's what life is giving me, right? And I don't really have much of a say in terms of what I want. So if I want to play center, and like you are a chubby girl, but I know I believe you deserve a center,
yes.
You know? Or swimming, like I would always be like, you're slow. Like things were just never what I want. Like the dancing, we've got a dance competition in primary. I would be given the role,
yakumaraho. Oh no.
Or dancing with the guy that everybody doesn't want to dance with, you know? And it's just, so over time, how people treat you, you see it. I mean, it's, Halungwan at 2 years, it starts from there where you actually notice all these things.
2 years.
Like 3 years for you grow up from that age, realizing, man, I'm always just given in primary school, high school, I'm old. In high school, then I got to high school, and because I spoke for myself, it got a bit better because I went to an all girls school, right? And at that all girls school, I was very, and kiratahopakana and just, you know, calling people out because I think. Life, I felt like life gave me, I had to settle, like I said. So eventually I decided, no man, it's not for me. Like, I don't think I deserve to be not center. Why is it center? Why is it the goal 20? I'm just give me, take what's given to me. It was not fair. I felt it wasn't fair. So one odd day, my mom sees this doctor on some show on SBC 2. My mom calls me, Soka! Orubezi! Oh, Khodali, Mayana! Oh, we're on TV about weight loss surgery. I was 24 years at the time, so I wake up, I'm like, okay, mama, here we go again. Mama would, like, literally everything about weight. Mama, oh no, no, how can I lose weight? Like, it stressed her out, right? So that also kind of it was a lot of tension in our relationship because of that, her obsession about weight, and almost trying to impose it. Only now when I'm older, I understand she meant well, but at the time it was not easy. It was horrible because I just wanted her to say, just do you when I come on, you know. But she meant well. Obviously, she was worried about issues that are healthy. But for me, it just, it got tiring. And I saw this show where they spoke about this gastric bypass being done in South Africa. At the time, I was 24 years, you know. Couldn't afford the surgery at the time, so let it go. And then never followed up on it. And then maybe 7 years later, my 29th birthday, five years later, I came back from, I was living in Nelspruit, came back to Johannesburg, and I got a new job in Joburg. And that's when I called the doctor. So I'm like, hey, I'm actually wanting to do this thing. And they gave me information. At the time, there was not a lot of, I didn't know a lot of black females at the time. So I went for this thing, started the process for my 29th. The idea was that the surgery would happen on my 30th birthday, the year I turned 30. So we did that. And then, I went for it, for the surgery. It was a long process. A preparation time for it is about 3 months. Prep time. So I started
3 months prep time.
Yeah. Okay. Before the surgery happened. So I started in October, and then we go for a lot of blood tests. Like blood tests, like almost like I had blood tests every week, literally.
Wow.
Right. And then after that, we then moved from blood tests to lung tests, sleep apnea. So if you've got a weight problem, you would have more likely to have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Sorry, sleep apnea. And they had to check that before you go to surgery, because if you've got it and it's not maintained properly, you could die on the table. So you need to make sure. Fortunately, I didn't have sleep apnea. This word.
Tricky word.
And then at the time, I was weighing 191
kilograms. What does that look like?
It looks like me.
You're not 191 kilograms now.
What did it look like? I mean, shame. It looked like this chubby girl that was just fighting for life.
Chubby?
This big girl who's literally just fighting for dear life.
I can't picture it.
Get on my page. You'll see.
I've got a picture of me
at 191.
Wow.
It looked like it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. It was back aches. It was going to the mall was a slip. Like, yo, I have to walk through that.
The weight actually weighs you down, for real.
And emotionally weighs you down.
I get you.
And then going out, like, to a party, it's like, yo, you're that girl who's doing Mr. Long. And I'm just thinking, I'm just too cute to be the girl who's doing Mr. Long. And you're wearing, una a lot. Everything about you is just a lot. Like, you can't sit flying.
But you could fly.
Yeah, I could.
Did you need to?
But it was uncomfortable. Like, I would try not to do it as much as I could. Seatbelt extender. You need a seatbelt extender to do that. And then also, I would have like uric acid. I had a lot of uric acid. So I'd feel tired, you know? I'd feel very tired. I'd feel like I just want to always sleep because gilabile. And walking would be a mission. Working at work would be a mission. So it was horrible, man.
So when you hear things like the plus size movement, for example, right? Mm. Do you believe in those movements?
So at the time, I've never been about a movement, even in my very big days, right? I've never been, because I felt like I didn't want that for myself. Mm. And that's why I went for the surgery, right?
You didn't want fatness for yourself.
No, I didn't. Okay. But however, I also understand why the plus size movement is there, because sometimes people are not overweight because of just food. Mm. Actually, most times it's not just food. Like for me, I found out in the process that I had metabolic issues, right? And metabolic issues, even if I was on diets, I would still gain weight.
Yes.
And food would not process the right way. And that's why the surgery was needed for me, because even if I ate healthy every single day, but I had uric acid, I had thyroid issues, I had sleep apnea. I had this, I had that. But these are things that I didn't know I had, right? Yes, Did I eat a lot? Yes, I did eat, because obviously my my cravings were, I would crave food because my brain is not registering that I shouldn't be eating it. Even if I would eat healthy, so there's more of a health issue, a scientific health issue.
Yes.
And that's the decision. So the plus size movement is needed because not everybody can, unfortunately, do the surgery in terms of resources, and not everybody knows about it. And also, they need it because people want to always exclude plus size people and make them feel like there's something wrong with them. And it's, there's nothing wrong, right? It's just that I am a bit, I'm a bit bigger than you. And yes, I could probably, and just assuming that people are because baja is also unfair, you know? And that for me, and I know the struggles of being treated like that because I'm big, like, flight attendants just not being nice to you.
Those hands are mean.
Yeah.
They can be very mean. Yeah. Like, I've just seen flight attendants. I'm like, no.
These people. I mean, you'd get there, try to put it together. I'd like, yeah, the seat belt is tender, ma'am. I'm just thinking, like, I'm trying to put it together. Why? And people are just like, could have an attack demand, you know? Yeah. And those are things that need to be bothered. So, give it a fella, hore. But, like, people just always want to decide for me. Why didn't you decide it? It's and like, I don't have a brain. Like, why must people decide?
How did they treat you at the shops when you'd buy clothes?
Everybody would just always want to have an opinion about everything. Like, no, Rekka, this won't suit you. Or how gonna size? And people would just never, at the gym, forget clothes. Let's talk about the gym.
Yeah.
Right? You get to a gym and the personal trainer guys are always nice to the girls with the nice bodies.
They are.
But the girls with the big bodies, that to this day, I don't go to the gym because of that.
Are you serious?
I don't. Like, it was horrible. I hated it. They treated me so funny, and I needed the help because I didn't know what to do, right? But no one would care. Like, no, like.
So if you asked for help, they'd just ignore you.
They'd come, but I have to just help her, you know?
Yeah.
They would never show me the passion that they'll show the girls with the nice bums and nice bodies, like.
The passion.
Yeah, the passion. But I help. But when I invested, gym guy, what are you eating? Now, I'd never be asked, what am I eating? So it was just, guys, no. So plus size movement is needed for that.
Okay. Yeah. And do you think it adequately fights for those things? It adequately addresses those problems?
Maybe not. Maybe not. It's more, I feel like it's more on the outside. The
the aesthetics.
Aesthetics part, right? In terms of plus size girls, banta mabona, right? And maybe mabona, everybody must do what they want to do. Hey, if mabona is what you believe in, hey, my girl.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
be
bona.
Naked.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about my bona. It should be bigger than my bona. It should be about literally mental health and actually booty gym, getting people, trainers to actually. Because, and the sad part is that plus size girls have so much money.
Oh.
Yeah, they do.
Hectic.
Plus size girls.
How come?
But you know about those girls work hard. Because all they've got is to concentrate on their work.
Yes.
Those girls, ask any girl who's in a plus size fashion line. They make the most money from. Skinny girls are not going to go buy a dress for 3,000 rand. Because why? They can go to Mr. Price and Marabastat.
And yeah, you're right. Yellow Sub. I mean, plus size girls don't have options.
Yeah,
they don't have to make the money to buy that 3,000 rand dress.
Exactly. So that's why I know. And those girls work hard.
Yes.
And that is why you'll find the sketchy men always wanting to hover around plus size girls because
what?
Motherly challenge. Plus girls have money.
So you actually have men who prey on plus size girls because they know you have money.
Yeah. A lot of them.
Literally, yes. They're saying yes.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more about this praying. Let's get into this. I don't even know.
No, it's a thing. Like, but they just, and I'm not talking about money from a man must have money, but it's not even on the level
taking care of himself. Okay.
On the level young one, and she's just wanting to be there because the girl, those girls, but they're doing very well career wise. And these men just want to be there to hover around them to make, to take money, buy their life, because shame, I can't get away a holiday. Because all my friends, I must just grab this random. But I never did that. Oh, yes. No. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I mean, I have dated taking men because I was plus size.
Yeah.
But shame, man. They were sweet, but
they were sweet. So you, and everyone's laughing. Okay. So I just want to get a picture of this. Do they approach and they're like, "Oh, baby girl, I'll take care of you. When I just keep working, what do they do?"
No, so you meet the guys, and over time, how, like, they'll come, you have to go to a restaurant, bill, you must pay for the bill.
Okay. The first time.
I only started to enjoy a bill being paid for me after losing weight.
No ways, yeah, for don't lie.
Yeah, I'm not, I used to pay bills.
A man has the audacity to sit in front of a woman and not pay for the bill.
No, they didn't. And I think I was quite, even in my big days, I was quite a cute girl.
You know? You're a cute girl.
You know, so it's not like, can I, open up like a guy, felt like, oh, like, yo, guys, like, a guy, oh, no, how to keep bound, like, something, also understand. Oh, my God, so what do you do?
Yeah.
And they love driving Golu Itapanyana. They love it. They will borrow your Range Rover, Shem, and they'll drive.
They'll borrow your Range
and drop Rover. You off at work.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's just not, I can be honest about it. Mm. A lot of my plus size friends that I know will be honest about it offline. A lot of them tell me that Liaho, we relate. A lot of people that have surgery, most of them divorce after because they settled. In their dating lives. Because truth of the matter is that you were settling because you didn't have options, right? And this guy loved you. And I'm not saying the case for everyone, but most of the people I've interacted with always tell me that. So many people tell me they relate. And the guy will just come, take you out, and then...
Exactly.
They're always at your house, they bring your car, like...
So they never spoil you?
I don't remember being spoiled.
Do they ever, how do they act when they're with you in public?
They're normal, like, give a guy, like, they're very loving. Shem, bugai bali, woo, but I'm not love, I'm not love. They are very loving. Give a guy, hold hands, tandasam.
Oh.
I wanna, all those guys, like, they will show you love, Shem, they will. Mari, you will pay for that love as the girl. You will pay. And I speak for myself, I mean, that's what happened to me. Before losing weight, I was always asked by guys that didn't make sense. Bugaiba, because direction my size, get my size. I get my size. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so those are things that would happen to you. You always just got like everything that's
the sloppy seconds.
Sloppy seconds.
Sorry, you know, if you're one of those guys.
But yeah, but you know, it is what it is. And I'm not saying sloppy seconds. For someone else, it works. But for if you're a girl that also brings a lot on the table, you don't deserve to be with sloppy. If you're a girl that works hard, you don't deserve to have sloppy seconds.
People must be with their people.
People must be with their people. If when you know you don't work hard as a guy,
but does that ever happen? Because some people will argue and say, but the same with girls. Like, broke girls will date really rich men, and how come?
I guess in the day, the men must decide what they value in people. And I didn't value a sloppy man that asked me to pay for a bill. It's not my thing. I'm not doing it.
High five to you.
I'm not paying a bill for no man. Sorry. But I will. If we're dating and we're building together and we're doing, I will support my partner. It's important. I don't want to just take and take, because that's also not fair. No one deserves to be always taking.
But I mean,
from,
it's good to receive and receive.
Yeah, but
is it taking or is it receiving?
No, but I don't, for me personally, my principle, I don't want to be with someone that I'm always just taking from.
Okay.
Them. I don't think it's fair because I've gone through people taking from me.
I get you.
So I don't want to treat someone else like that. Even now, I don't. Like, yeah. I don't do that.
And how was your working life before surgery? What was the experience?
Working life, I think my personality.
No, as in how did they treat you as a 191 kilogram
at work
woman? Yeah.
So Shem, truly from a work perspective, I didn't struggle because I have a big personality. So I got in and I owned my space and I rocked. So I didn't really struggle with that from a work perspective. I still remember, and fortunately, Shem, my last job, like, the team was quite a chubby team. So Shem, it worked so well for me, right?
Yes.
That they loved me. And yeah, it's not everybody. A lot of people don't. If people didn't like me, could be on my personality. It was never about weight from a work perspective. Well, that's what I think.
Yes,
I've never openly had anyone say it or treat me, or maybe I just didn't care as well because I felt like I'm not here for anything else. I'm just here to do what I need to do. So from a work perspective, it's been good because I speak for myself and I will tell you what I think of you.
Okay.
As well.
So you've got this 3 month prep period. And then what happens?
So the surgery I did, it's called gastric bypass, right? But I did a bile pancreatic diversion, right? A BPDS.
Okay.
So there's different types of gastric bypasses. There's Roux-en-Y, there's BPDS, which is the one I did. Then there's BPDCID, mm-hmm. right? Which is the one that is in the middle, it's like the smaller one. So the DS is for people that weighed 192, 200 kgs. That's the biggest on the gastric bypass family. Roux-en-Y is the smaller girls that are maybe weighing 100 kgs, but they don't like being overweight, and it puts them to about 50, 60 kgs. Mm. And then BPDCID is someone that is around 150, but also your doctor would be the one to decide, right? Mm. And then I did BPDS. The full one, DS2, and the side. So the BPDS2 is for someone who's fully needs a change in metabolism. So what happened in my, like I said, it's gastric bypass, and then I did a BPDS2, and this BPDS is called bile pancreatic diversion. And basically what it is I had to, they cut my stomach, made my stomach smaller, and they switched how food transfers to my body. Mm-hmm. So then they made my, what they call a duodenum shorter. Mm-hmm. So food does not stay long in my body. They also removed my gallbladder because that's where the fat and all of that stuff is stored. Ah. So they had to remove that. So the prep time for that is just getting me ready for the BPDS. Mm-hmm. So BPDS, then switch food. I eat, food gets in the stomach, doesn't sit long, goes through the short duodenum, which is the
duodenum, tube. Yeah,
that is the tube that connects to the stomach, doesn't stay too long, kicks them out. So my metabolism is super fast, right? So then I go for surgery day, we do the surgery, the procedure, then you're in ICU that first night, and you've got a drainage net where they're draining out blood from your stomach out through your neck, right? And they also, you're in high care, if you did a BPDS, the one I did, you're in high care because they need to monitor how you respond to everything. So I felt very, like a lot of nausea, and but I was okay. And then literally the next morning, you have to walk. I'm sick, we're walking. Theater, you're walking with a physiotherapist. So your team of doctors, you've got an endocrine, you've got a physician, endocrinologist, and then you've got a surgeon who actually performed the surgery. You've got a dietitian, you've got a psychologist, you've got a psychiatrist.
Wow.
You've got a ECG lung specialist. You also have a physiotherapist, and you also have about, what else you have? Yeah, ECG lung, and then the sleep, the neuroscience person. So there's about 8 doctors.
That's expensive.
It's hell expensive.
I'm just hearing money.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It's hell expensive. So then you do a lot of blood tests. Then after that surgery, you do physiotherapy, and you also see your psychologist in 3 months prep time. So your psychologist or psychiatrist. And then after the 3 days, you're in hospital for 3 days. You can't really eat for the first 3 days. The second day, they start giving you broth. But obviously you can't eat because it's just weird. Everything's just weird. You've got a lot of nausea. And then from there on, you are discharged. Discharged 3 days later, you go back for them to remove the tube, the drain, because you go home with the drain. So the drain is to make sure that all the pus that's inside your stomach gets drained out.
Ugh.
So that you don't find yourself getting septic and getting sick. The team of doctors that did it were very thorough. They were extremely thorough. Literally every point of the surgery is taken care of by this whole team.
And then
I go home, and I was off work for the first 3 weeks. At that first 3 weeks, it's very difficult because your mind hasn't kicked in, right? You've got this thing. You can't eat. You have to eat sloppy food. Your food must be
like soup. Yeah.
But no cream. If you eat anything creamy, you're going to vomit. If you eat something oily, you're going to have bad flatulence.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the first year of the surgery, you've got the worst flatulence of your life. And it doesn't smell great, you know, because obviously everything has just been changed. So you go through all of that. And then only the hard part for me was the mental part. Because in the mix of everything, when I had stresses of life, I was overwhelmed. I did comfort eat, right? So now I can't comfort eat anymore because it's taken away from me. So you want to eat, you will vomit until you can't believe. If you eat anything bad, you are going to vomit. Or you're going to have flatulence. Or you're going to have diarrhea.
Mm.
So you're always in the toilet, literally, because of all of that. Mujolo, it's no mujolo because you've got issues.
There's nothing sexy about your life at that point.
Nothing sexy about your life, my darling. Like, you must date a man that's flippant matured after this procedure, because there's so much that he needs to also understand, right? But at least he's got a pretty girl outside. Like, what's the thing an hour? What is flatulence between lovers, you know? So then you go through all of that. And then first year is the hardest, was the hardest for me. And a lot of people that talk to me about it, they always struggle. Sometimes other issues come out that you didn't know. Like, I spoke to another lady the other day who said she had liver problems and her liver's failing.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's having to go to a doctor more. But it's all on what you eat. Like, I was actually admitted 2 weeks ago, in May this year, because I had the worst diarrhea. So I'm in the hospital for, like, 2 weeks, a week. And if you've got diarrhea, the moment you've got diarrhea more than 2 days, you have to go to hospital. So that's, I'm always in hospital if there's anything that wrong that I feel like. But now it's better, like, because I was not taking my medication. So I take vitamins forever, for all my life. I take about 8 different vitamins, vitamin B12, zinc, potassium, everything to keep my energies. Because remember now, my food portions are so small, and I will never get all the nutrients from just food. So I must substitute it with vitamins. Then I go for regular checkups. My first year, I saw a psychiatrist. I saw a psychologist. I struggled a lot with my mental part of things. Because the shock of, oh my God, I could never ever relate. I could never eat. You know, I remember I used to call this other lady that I found, will I be able to eat? Like, I just could not believe my life. And it was just hard. You know, it was hard mentally. I cried so much during that year. I was, like, I regretted doing the surgery. I wish I would have just loved myself the way I was. I wish I did not listen to people telling me, oh, Miki Mayang. I wish I could have just still fought to still have center and not wait for people to tell. It was horrible. And I remember asking myself, did I do this for myself or was it for people? You know, because it was, I struggled mentally a lot. You know, I had a psychiatrist for 3 years, nonstop. I saw her for 3 years. She was so good. And my psychologist as well. I went and found my own psychologist, and I would see her on a weekly basis for a whole 2 years.
Wow.
Because I needed all the help in terms of, and because my, you know, because after surgery, like, people don't, because I'm not physically sick, like, they didn't understand, like, I won't be able to explain this anymore. So it was, those are the challenges that I had. You know, mental health for me was the hardest. I cried a lot, like I said, and I had a lot of regret. You know, I remember sending my sister a message, I want to reverse this thing. I don't want it anymore. And I couldn't reverse, because once you've gone, you're gone. But you just have to have solid support structure. And in terms of someone that's had the surgery, like, I do that with a lot of girls that go. Like, I'm always on the phone with them. Don't worry, you'll be fine. I literally drove at some point to the hospital to see them, because they would be so overwhelmed. And because I was alone at the time, I don't want anyone to ever feel alone. I had to literally learn to stop doing, because I went over and beyond too much. You know, where I'd be on the phone, give phone now. And it got tiring for me as well, where it's like, okay, I can just only give advice. And yeah, so that is, the first year was the hardest mentally.
Have people ever said, well, you're lazy, you could have just gone to the gym and gotten a dietitian?
They probably said it behind my back, but no one would ever have the balls to say that to me. I'd be so shocked, like, you're talking to me like that.
Yes.
Purely because a lot of my friends know my, like, I've not changed friends. I've had the same friends since growing up.
Wow.
So a lot of them know my struggles from a weight perspective. So a lot of them just didn't, they wouldn't say it to me, you know. Maybe they said it behind my back, but I've never had anyone say it to me. I feel like someone who says that, though, doesn't know.
Yes.
They, you know, and I, shame, there are a lot of things that we all comment on that we don't know. So it's okay also, right? If you've struggled with obesity, you understand that obesity is like I said initially, it's not just about food, but obesity is, it breaks every part of you, you know. And for me to go the surgery route, it's the extreme route, but it's because I didn't have a choice. And I wasn't losing weight from eating right and the gym. I wasn't. I wasn't even getting help with the gym. Forget losing weight. I'm not getting help with the gym, you know. So And at that weight, at 191, you can't run on a treadmill. Mangwele, abutogo. Like, your knees are painful. Your ankles are hella painful.
Yes.
It's like carrying a bag of cement. Yeah. Expecting for you to run. It just wasn't going to be able to work for me, you know? At that weight, you're too heavy. So someone who says I was lazy, ah man, shame. It's okay. It's their opinion. But I could afford to do it, so
there you go.
I didn't have to work hard. If you want to go to the gym, go for it, my love.
Yes.
You know, if you wanna be 192, and yes, someone can say you ate yourself to 192. That's also okay. I know I didn't. You know what I mean? Yes, did I eat? Yes, I did. I did say I did eat a little bit more than other people, but at the same time, for me at 192. Shame. Also, I can understand, you know, someone who comments like that doesn't know, man. You know, we all speak from a place of what we think should be.
Yes.
And if you...
It's ignorance.
It's ignorance.
They really don't know.
They really don't know. Mm. And they truly will never understand the challenges of metabolic issues. Mm. And if you've never seen an endocrinologist also.
Yeah.
But it's like arguing with someone, how you go, like... Half of them I see by a physician.
Yes.
So I'm now trying to understand, like, physician, my love, wait, do you know what is an endocrine general? Before that, I'm more dieting.
Yeah.
So if that's what they feel, I can also understand, but yeah. I'm also not too bothered because at the time it did bother me though. Let me not act, I'm 4 years post-op.
Yes.
So at the time, yes, it bothered me that, oh my God, I felt like I cut corners. Until a friend of mine and my therapist said to me, but it was so hard, like the mental part of it. It was so hard physically, mentally, vomiting, all of those things that you had to go through.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel like you cut corners? No.
You didn't. You did what was best for you.
I did what was best for me in my circumstances because I did not have any other option.
Yes.
You know, if I could have just ate right, which I did do. Mm. I did do before I got to that. I did 10 different diets, and I followed. When I finally started to do, I followed a diet for a whole year. I was on a diet, and I followed it, and I still did not lose weight. Yes. I lost 20 kgs, right? But still then, I was still not enough to keep the weight off. Fortunately, I was not diabetic at the time, and also the nice part about BPDS is that it corrects diabetes. It corrects high blood pressure, so you will never have it after that. So... Yeah, some people also do it for that reason because no one wants to live with diabetes and high blood pressure.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And if you've got an option to correct it, why not? Because the metabolic, endocrine, scientific way of it fixes that problem.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why I was so happy that you agreed to come on the podcast is because I think the story of being a fat person in society is a very common story, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But we don't share that story enough. You know, I don't even share it. I mean, I used to be 110 kilograms at some point,
sure.
You know, and then I lost the weight. But I also used to be 50 kilograms because I was a swimmer. So my weight has done this my whole life, you know. And I started swimming because I was a chubby kid.
Yeah.
And everyone would say, no, you can't be a chubby kid. No. So you had to find ways. So then my relationship with food changed because I was like, I'm not eating food that makes me fat.
Yeah.
Then I stopped eating. You know, and then I had all these other issues because I stopped eating. And then you have stomach issues because you've ruined your stomach lining and all these things because you're always on these weird diets. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and the quality of your life changes once you get on this road of dieting and what. And people don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, it causes depression.
And also, like, just to add into the dieting, if you go to a dietitian, dieticians never run tests.
Yes.
They give you a program. And if you think about it, from a weight perspective, the issue is always scientific. You do need to run tests.
You do.
You need to check what, okay, Liago gains weight, haja ing.
Don't just...
Got blood group, because then you must go further and understand, okay, you've had this weight problem, why? And that's why the endocrine does, right?
Yes.
The physician does that. And that's how we're able to get to a place of understanding my metabolism.
Yes.
It's the reason why.
Exactly.
Even when you eat healthy, you will not lose weight.
Yeah. And that's why all of these trainers online who like to give weight loss programs, I'm just like, how are you doing this?
Exactly.
Because you wouldn't know what this person's body needs.
Exactly.
You know, and literally, like, I lost weight because I know a lot about food, but then I also learned my body. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So I was like, oh, when I eat this, this happens. Oh, when I do this, this happens. Okay, I'm gaining weight now. Oh, it's because I'm eating this.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. It takes a while. And there's also that conversation about health where people will say, if someone's skinny, they're healthy. If someone's fat, they're unhealthy. Half the time, because I have friends who are either doctors or they own these aesthetic clinics. Yeah. And they give you those injections.
Yeah.
They'll say that their skinniest clients usually have the worst lifestyles.
Yes.
So you find that on average, the people with the high blood pressure issues and that kind of thing are the skinnier clients, you know? So it's just so interesting how weight is really not a health is not a superficial.
No.
It's not about what you look like.
No, not at all.
It's deeper than that.
Exactly. And that's what I learned through this process.
Yes.
That's what my sister the other day was struggling with diarrhea. So not that constipation. I said to her, go see a dietitian because she's smaller, right? But then also go see a physician. Yes. So you can understand why you've got constipation issues, because your issue is not just the food. Yes. But you need to learn what is the food that works for you. Yes. Gluten intolerant. Yes. You can only get that through tests. If you don't do that, so also like people want to talk about how it's really serious. It's just like,
no. And your health is everything. Health is wealth.
Exactly.
Health is wealth.
Absolutely.
So if there are bigger girls watching this or bigger guys watching this, how would you advise them to navigate through life and through being fat?
Oh my God, I've never had to give people that kind of advice, but I think for me. I wouldn't concentrate so much on making about the physical part, right? I would suggest that really see a doctor, like a specialist, a physician, an endocrine, and tell them what your weight challenges are. And run tests on that. And then from there on, follow a program. Take those tests. Go give a dietitian and say, okay, so this is what I've got. My protein, for example, if your protein is low, it won't break fat. And there's a thing that people don't know. Protein, and if you have too much protein also, it turns into fat. But you need to keep a balance, right? Then get those results and go find a dietitian that can be able to work on a lifestyle program and not just give you a copy of a program that's been set for years, done by other people. Mm-hmm. What worked for them won't necessarily work for you, yes. Right? So that is the first thing I would, if you're wanting to lose weight or want to have a healthier lifestyle, I would suggest that they do spend a bit in terms of doctors that they see, a physician, someone that can give them proper scientific, why are you gaining weight? Because your blood, your vitamin B12 is too low. Because sometimes vitamin B12, that's too low. Iron, that's too low in women. You will have weight issues. But nobody, a dietitian won't, you go to the hospital, she won't say anything about vitamin B12, it's low.
Yeah.
Because I hardly test it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you want a dietitian that can run thorough tests and be able to look at the information. And I think another one that I would definitely say is that, you know, you need to be okay with yourself, right? And yes, for me, someone can say, but you're not okay with yourself because you went and did surgery. I was never okay with myself. And because I was true to myself and said, no, I'm not okay. No, I've never been a girl who says, I'm happy being big. No, I've never been. I did at the time I embraced it because it's what life gave me. But beyond that, I was like, I'm not doing this. You know, so if you're not happy with it, go for this. Find alternatives as well. Don't sit there and be unhappy, being stressed, being miserable. There's no need. There's a lot of options. Even if it's not gastric bypass, but you can look at other options. Because gastric bypass is also not an easy way out.
Yes.
You need to be ready for financially, for the upkeep of it. Because if you don't have the finances to upkeep it, then you're going to be miserable.
Yes.
Because you're not going to lose too much weight and you won't be able to have your vitamins. And that is a cost. On average, I spend 2,000 rand on just the medication.
Per month.
Per month.
Wow.
And this is upkeep. This is 4 years later.
Yes.
And I must still go for blood tests. You're spending about 8,000 rand for blood tests.
Those are expensive.
Yes. And then you see the endocrine, that's 4,000 rand a session.
So if you knew what you know now, would you have still gotten gastric bypass surgery? Or would you have just stayed the way you were?
I would have still gotten to gastric bypass surgery, definitely. I would. I don't have regrets that I would do it again, even tomorrow. I'm even going for my other surgeries next year, so it's not it. Okay. I'm not done, you know. So yeah, I would still have gone, absolutely. Yeah.
And what are some of the how has your life changed since you got gastric bypass?
My life has changed in that I'm more active. I can walk longer without feeling like I'm dying. Mm-hmm. I don't need a seatbelt extender in a flight. That's exciting.
Yes.
And the fun part of it, it's a relationship part. I get asked out by really nice men.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. So and they pay the bill. Oh, is that still a problem?
No.
Good. The spirit of that thing. Whatever it is.
They pay the bill. Mm. Yes, they do. And because also, like, not, like, I just, you know, because it's something that I didn't have, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up wanting to just have nice guys, bang like, I mean, you know? Yeah. And I didn't have it. Like, I mean, I get asked now, oh, yeah, Ling. Finally. Finally, people ask me that. Oh, Jolly Lemang. Yeah. And for the longest part, guys, when I tell you, I've never been asked Jolly Lemang.
Wow.
Ever. No. I was just like, I'm sure you couldn't give me a what? I've never been asked. Even my friends never asked me. Wow. I'll tell them. Oh, another one. When you hook up, I've never, none of my friends have ever said, let me hook you up. But my sister and my best friend, Bambo, they were always, friends, people were always willing to hook them up, or tenulu, like my other friends, right? Let me hook you up. I'd sit there, whenever I hook up you, now just,
just watching.
Just watching. Oh, maybe you at work, oh, I've got a colleague, man, let me hook you up. I've never gotten that. I get that a lot now.
Nice.
I get asked, let me hook you up with this person. You know, so that's the difference. I walk longer, I'm more active, I don't get tired at all. If I get tired, I know my vitamins are low, so that means I'm not eating right from a diet perspective. I get into a room and, you know, I'm like, I feel like people notice me, which I was big, but no one would ever recognize me. I was just another extra, even at work.
Wow.
You know, so that's the nice part. You know, just feeling like if I was like this now, I definitely would have had the center. Netball.
Wow.
Like at the center, you know?
So you're the woman you've always wanted to be.
Yes. Okay. And the timing also, it met me at the right time where I'm matured. So because now I'm grown, I can do better decisions for myself now. And I think I always say if I'd probably lost weight earlier, and sometimes things happen because God wants it to happen like that. If I'd lost weight earlier, I probably would not even have achieved half of what I have now. Because my state of mind would have not been able to handle the attention that I'm getting now. But now, because I'm older, I know it doesn't mean anything. But it's one thing that still fascinates me today, to this day, is how I can walk into a place and guys actually turn. Like, turn for me.
Yes, because you're pretty. You're a beautiful
like,
woman.
Hi. And that's always like something that I never got. I never used to get. No one used to turn heads for me. No one. I never got that.
And you know? do you fully embrace your new body, or do you still feel like the fatter version of yourself? You get what I'm like, the 191.
Yeah, the first year I struggled because obviously the mind wasn't. Yeah. But now I'm 4 years later, I embrace it more. Fortunately for me, and then I got into a relationship which was like, you know, almost steady. So I didn't have time to explore men as a whole because also I'm scared of that, right?
Okay. Because mentally you still think you're that girl.
And also because I had like other issues like flatulence issues at the time, diarrhea issues. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to tell this guy, Khore, my guy.
This is going to happen.
This is going to happen, right? Because sometimes you can just get diarrhea and you didn't even plan for it. Like, and it's just happening, you know? And there's a guy I dated actually post-surgery and I had diarrhea in his presence and he was so unkind about it.
Really?
And it was not because he did like a boom, you know? It was just because...
It just happens.
It just happens. And yes, I probably had a bad meal that day. That's why I had it. But
yeah. He should have been kinder.
It should have been kinder. Especially because he had so many issues.
Yeah.
I was actually settling with that guy.
Wow.
Now that in hindsight, when I look back, he actually had bigger problems than me.
Yes.
Like, we cut off diarrhea, away, not only bigger issues. So that's what that is what has changed, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's more to you than just what you look like.
Yes.
You're also a successful marketing professional. And because this is a marketing and business podcast, I also want to touch on that a little bit. Pick your brain, right? Because you've had an extensive career and a pretty impressive one.
Yeah.
Can you just share a little bit for people who don't know what you've done quickly in the industry as a marketing professional?
So I'm a marketer. I've got my honors in strategic brand communications and I did it from Vega. I absolutely enjoy building brands and positioning brands. I've worked on very cool campaigns and very cool companies where I've had to obviously position the brand in for people to use the product. Most recently in my current job, I literally saw numbers go up with a new product we launched, where I had to literally position this product in a market that the brand would not typically not work be in.
Mm.
So I think from I enjoy marketing because I'm a big creative as well, and that's why I dabble in so many things: cooking, one moment in marketing, one moment I'm doing clothes. So because of that, the marketing part of what I, the creative part of me, is the one thing I absolutely am good at, and I'm able to merge my creativity with marketing, selling brands and selling products and making people to believe in the product. So I've worked for cool brands, and I continue to grow this marketing thing because it's something that I absolutely enjoy.
When you say build a brand, what do you mean? What is building a brand?
I think building a brand for me means literally being able to have impact, and impact in terms of a 360 impact, where people talk, use your brand, and not just spending all this money on marketing, but actually seeing the ROI, people using the product.
Mm.
So starting a new product where a MIDI bus, for example, comes into my space, where it had no performance, was on zero, and positioning, understanding the customer, what is the customer wants, how they want to be spoken to, like how they want you to speak to them.
Mm.
How do you convert them to believe in your brand? Pushing boundaries as well as a marketer. So knowing that, okay, my customer likes this, but if I try this with them, let me see how they react, because I like pushing boundaries.
Mm.
So I feel brand building, it works if you are open-minded. And because for me, it's always trying to test and see what the customer is, because the customer can be agile, right? It's just how you speak to them and how you make them, how you sell this thing that you are trying to sell. Speak to your customers how they want to be heard. And it's understanding the signs in the customer's mind process, behaviors, their needs, what they like, and literally focusing on data, because I feel data-driven marketing, because numbers will always lead you to building this brand.
Mm.
And I believe in data-driven marketing because number, like insights and behaviors, is what you get, how you get the true essence of what your customer needs.
Absolutely.
So that's how I build my brand, through data and obviously looking at behaviors and patterns and how they want me to speak to them, and also trying new things with the brand. Softly and slowly. Yeah.
How would you advise, because we have a lot of marketing professionals who watch us, especially the younger ones.
Yeah.
They always DM me, Lebu, how do I navigate through agency? How do I navigate through corporate? How would you advise them to navigate through working in the industry?
I think for me, it's being authentic, eh? Like that, being true to yourself and being authentic will always win people's hearts. Mm. And sometimes you need to find your strengths. Like I know with me, my strength at the time was not, I wasn't good with writing, right? And I literally had to pay attention to it. But I'm a creative. So for example, processes, I'm not good with processes because my mind is everywhere.
Yes.
But my line manager is good with processes, right? Yes. So I will come with the concept and say, this is what I'm thinking. And then she will put it together. So you need to understand. I mean, at the early stages of marketing, it's very difficult to know what you're good at, right?
Mm.
But time will tell in that. I knew my personality worked in the entertainment industry. So I started off there in the entertainment industry. And that worked for me because I'm good with relationships.
Yes.
Like, I'm the girl that can build the relationship, and you get a lot out of people if you're good with relationship building. And that is one thing that I can say set me apart as a marketer. I am very good with people, and people just hear me when I speak, which is my, you need to find your je ne sais quoi, man, and we all have it. It's just a matter of unpacking it and being intentional in that. I like this, how do I grow this? If you're good at writing, how do you grow your writing creative? Because every agency needs a writer. Social media content creators, they need someone who can write the content.
Mm.
So you can find, okay, I'm good with this. I'm good with this. My tone. I'm good with maybe creating the content. And be intentional and feed and grow that. So don't find yourself trying to be... Also another thing in marketing, because there's a lot of popularity, because you work with cool brands, you must be careful not to make it about clout or being relevant. Because then everybody's just like, yo, that girl, because you're also going to get to a point where you will get over it. Eventually, at the beginning, it was exciting. Oh my God, I got this. This person's DMing me. They want tickets. But don't, being authentic comes, speaks to that. That don't, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you will not grow in it.
Yes.
And if you're wanting to be famous through it, then you've got a challenge. But be true to the work and the science of it and be intentional in growing the work. And people just, nowadays, just do things. And if you do just, if you do things just, you're going to end up just everywhere.
With just.
But yeah, if you're intentional in saying, I want to grow my career as a marketer, I'm good at writing, I'm a creative. You can have three at the early stages. Then you naturally, you will be led into what you're good at. And then you build, intentionally build those things. Also reach out to people, right? Like, I used to reach out to people a lot, introduce myself, and tell them what you can bring into what they, like, say, I looked at your label, I looked at your brand, and this is what I think I can do. Mm. The label will be like, okay, maybe you might be off, but if you are off, she'll just say, okay, let me give her a chance, let me see. Because the fact that you had the audacity to suggest something that she would say, let me give her a chance.
Yes.
So if you're going to, don't say, oh my God, I'm reaching out, please help me out to get a job. No, say, I saw this brand, this is what I'm thinking, and this is what I think I can bring to the table.
Yes.
And that is how people actually then end up wanting to work with you. And that's what I used to do a lot.
Be intentional, be authentic, be brave.
Be brave.
And take action.
And take action.
I love it.
Yes.
If someone wants to follow you and your journey, where can they find you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram and my name is Liago_Glamstar.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have a number? I think Liago_Glamstar. On Instagram, on Twitter, and I am, that's all, on Facebook. Mm. Ugh, my Facebook is so.
Yeah, Facebook is like, we're done with that.
Yeah, sorry, but also my Facebook people was very controversial. I always had was so much drama. I had so much drama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, my Facebook is Liago Maruma. Yeah, but I don't.
We don't go there. We don't do Instagram.
We don't do Twitter.
Yeah, we don't do.
So I'm just on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay.
Liago Maruma on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Your story is incredible, and I wish you all the best in everything else that you're going to be doing moving forward. Do you have a last message or something you want to leave us with to end off the podcast?
You're enough. And I think never stop believing you're enough. Because I struggled with that. I struggled with believing I'm enough. I struggled with thinking I am, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm enough. So I think you're enough. You're enough. And that's it.
What a perfect way to end the podcast. You're enough and that's it. Guys, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Lebo Lion Show. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all the things that get people to talk about this podcast, engage with us and grow the community. You can find us at the Lebo Lion Show or at Lebo_SA on all social media platforms. And don't forget, the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Toodles. Follow me back to my nest. Lebo Lion with the podcast. Teach you lessons cause I got class. Lebo Lion with the impact. To be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Lebo Lion with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest.